This is Radio 4, and now Saturday Night Theatre.
Our Roman Cousins by Bruce Stewart, with Ian Cuthbertson as Charles Edward Stuart and Jack May as his brother Henry, Cardinal Duke of York. Our Roman Cousins.
To my lords of Westminster, defenders of the realm, servants of George, by the grace of God, King of Britain, Ireland, and France, from Sir Horace Mann, their eye and ear on Rome. January the 20th, 1766. A dispatch extraordinary, my lords. Most diverting news. Today, in the palace of the so-called Cardinal Duke of York at Frascati.
Dio mio! Ultra Giorgio, lei, lei.
My lord cardinal.
Importuna, leave this house.
Uncle.
Vava, vavia, how dare you. Santa Maria, Redomnes, Virginis, would you defile it?
Defile it, you see. Excellent. Charlotte Stuart in Rome, my lords, and his eminence most desirably perturbed.
By your grace's leave, you are most unkind to speak to me like this. Do you think I come for myself? Never. I'd sooner starve. Plainly, I am not here on my own account, but on that of my mother.
Wanton! Strumpet!
Strumpet! Better and better!
No, my lord. My mother is no strumpet. You must not use such names of her.
Oh, her mother, old Clementina. Well, as to her...
My mother, because of my father's neglect of her, is reduced to the most pitiful of circumstances. A convent outside Paris.
To refresh your lordship's memory, Charlotte Stuart, natural daughter to the young pretender Charles Stuart by one Clementina Walkinshaw, a lady of reputation almost as precarious as the Stuart claim to the throne itself. How they persevere in their obstinacy, these once and never to be restored monarchs. 70 years in exile, 2 so-called kings in their graves, but still all their talk is of rightful crowns and dispossession and Hanoverian usurpers. As a British spy in Rome, I sometimes feel an extraordinary piquancy in my situation.
So surely, you see, I ask only for what is fitting, my lord. To put her at her very lowest, my mother is the cast-off of a king. Why then should she be ripped up for rags like a peasant's tunic? Must I...
Aspetti, aspetti, sancti apostoli! Wait. Cease to speak for one moment. I am a churchman. I was at solemn vespers. The shepherd was with his flock, conducting them to God. Would you withdraw me from unworldly tasks like that simply to discourse on sordid economic matters?
Liberality before devotion, most reverend uncle. Charity, a higher service of the Lord than prayer.
Point there, you know, good Protestant point.
Do not call me uncle.
You are my father's brother.
Correct.
He should not have been.
What?
My father or your brother?
Basta, baravia. Io non la conosco. Engage me in conversation no more. Having fractured my devotion, you now hope to shatter my composure with tricks of words. But I will not allow this. I am a plain, blunt Englishman, and speak with a plain English tongue.
Oh, do you hear that, Whitehall? Is it ringing round the rafters, Charing Cross? I must speed this dispatch to my masters at once.
If your mother, the Jezebel Walkinshaw, now experiences a certain inconvenience of life, let her at least reflect it is less than God might reasonably have asked of her.
My lord!
Scarce able to pronounce the native tongue.
Sicuro! She is a sinner.
Grandma and the 39 articles.
As all men are sinners, but she perhaps more than others. She knew, she must have known, even when the election still rested on the king, my father, that one day it would descend in power and plenitude upon the king, my brother.
Are you telling me my mother is to blame for the royal penetration of her common status?
Discustoso! Remember where you are. God hears you, not me. Within, please.
I beg your pardon.
This room. We must speak more privately. It is necessary.
Why, yes, of course, my lord.
So, attend to me. Understand well. Upon the death of my father, James III, by divine right, King of Britain, Ireland, and France, Requiem aeternam, Dona A, Domine...
Lux perpetua Lucia et A.
Carluccio, my dear brother, became also by divine right, Charles III, similarly King of Britain, Ireland, and France.
Dominus protegat eum.
Et vivificet eum. Valora. This is a condition of affairs which God has ordained, not me, and in which you and your mother have no rightful place. You are now as remote from your father as the pale stars from the effulgent moon. He has gone up in joy. You have remained below in sorrow. You are the smudged imprint, he the hun.
God's bones. It's a wonder I'm permitted to bear the family name if things are really as grubby as all that, my lord.
Your mother has never borne any name other than her own. As for you, it would doubtless be churlish to forbid you your patronymic.
No more than that. My lord and uncle, the king your father, James III...
Libera eum domine.
Ex omnibus periculis inferni. He was a Christian monarch and a holy man, was he not?
Il vero santo.
Yet he hardly found it necessary to be as Christian as you, I think.
Cosi?
He recognized me as a kinswoman. More than once, in letters written to my mother. And he was considerate. To the strumpet dam and her bastard whelp, he granted a pension of 6,000 livres a year.
As to money...
Which, for all I know, should not have ceased on his death. Oh. Oh, we have been most callously used, my lord. I am glad you point out we speak to God here. But if God were to answer, which of us would he convince of sin, I wonder? Good day, my lord.
Wait! Non lo fatto
apposta. Have you something to say that is worth my remaining to hear?
You speak truth, of course. Yes, forgive me. Sometimes it seems I am insensitive. It is a fault of character. I see what is right, but not always what is kind. In addition, of course, at the present time, I must be most careful for the good reputation of my brother, the king.
Why, my lord?
Yet God does not judge in this manner. God only looks to the heart. You have a good heart, Charlotte Stuart. God will give you the joy of that.
But the income...
So, this matter must be settled. D'accordo. It is all just as you insist. You and your poor wretch of a mother have nothing.
Will you stop referring to my mother as strumpet, Jezebel, and now poor wretch? She had the foolishness to sin above her station, and that would seem to be as much irregularity as may justly be laid at her door.
Oh.
The king, my father, makes no provision for us, none whatsoever, not a sou.
Remember, before you judge him, kinswoman, that Charles III of England is the most miserable of monarchs. Not only must he live without the crown that is rightfully his, but without its revenues too. His subjects pay their taxes to a German Protestant impostor. However, this bill will see to it that you and your mother are provided for until more permanent arrangements can be made.
Thank you, my lord.
The condition is that you leave Rome now, forever, at once, before the king, your father, arrives.
The king, my father? You mean the king, my father, is coming to Rome?
Por favore, no one else knows this as yet. It must remain a secret.
But why?
Income before knowledge, kinswoman. Income before knowledge.
The king, my father. Yet what kind of man is he now, I wonder? How disposed? How made? I sometimes feel I'd be hard put to recognize him if we met again. He hasn't crossed my path since I was a small child.
Nor mine, since he was a great hero.
My lord?
15 years slipped by like the moon across my garden. 15 years since we met. He had just returned from his brave, fruitless expedition to our native land to win back our crown by deeds of arms. Even in defeat, he was a splendid figure. All Catholic Europe was at his feet. Yet we quarreled then, he and I, my father and he. But not this time, kinswoman. No, this time we Stuart shall prevail. For our throne, our people, God's holy will. Come, you must leave Rome. My servants will conduct you.
Johnny Cole. Were you walking yet? Or are you sleeping? I would wit. Or hastening it up for the drops to beat? Hey! Hey! Will you mind what you're doing about there? Coachman, damn you! Kokiri! The notion is that you keep to the solid parts of the road and steer clear of any holes you encounter. You can? How much further is it to Rome, coachman? Direttore di carrozza! Huh? Ah, the deaf maniac. Thank God of a steady hand to hold the wine. Unspilled, leastways. Hey, Johnny Coke, were you walking yet? Or are you sleeping? I would wait. Oh, hasty, get up.
What, fellow? What? I told you just come from the border.
Si, Sir Horace. Oh, the Cardinale. From the post house. Mm-hmm. By fastest horse, just as was required. Faster than the wind of Calabria. Most English, sir. Faster than
yes,
all...
Yes, splendidly done. But what is your report? Listen to this, Albani.
A carriage entering the Papal States, sir. A single occupant.
By description?
Short. Middle-aged, and wearing a false nose.
False nose?
See?
By Fox and the Book of Martyrs, fellow, if you think you can make mock of me.
Per piacere, è vero, molto vero, signor, mi dispiace.
Did he disclose a name?
To the customs, see. Baron Douglas.
Baron Douglas?
See.
And a false nose. Wesley and Whitgift, someone travelling incognito, or I'm a damned papist. Well, Cardinal Albani, what is your comment?
Sir Horace, man, I have entered into conspiracy with you in the name of political expediency, nothing more. I have agreed to abet your efforts as a British spy because it seems these may assist towards the speedy humiliation and decline of His Eminence Henry, Cardinal Duke of York.
So-called.
Who, since he became Vice-Chancellor of the Holy Roman Church, has grown too great for many of his brethren in Rome. But I am not concerned in your contemptible English affairs. Already I have trouble enough keeping out of Austrian, French, and Portuguese affairs, not to mention a matter like the proposed suppression of the Jesuit order. I am disengaged up to the hilt. I dare not endanger my resolution further.
Why is it that everything in this plaguey city has to be carried out by cabals and intrigues? Gives you a nasty, unwashed feeling sometimes.
Hey, Johnny Cope, were you walking yet? Or are you sleeping? I would wait. Or haste to get up for the drums to beat. Oh, hey, hey! God, rot your guts! Now look what you've done. Mightn't have been the best wine, but it was sufficient to ease the pain of this abominable journey. Oh, why should I go to Rome? What's to be gained by it? Has my daft brother a scheme, do you think, or is it just more reaching for the moon? Coachman! Huh? It's a good thing I had the sense to bring along another flask against emergency. Coachman! Lord above! You may be no sensation in your ears, but you wouldn't be without a bit in your backside, could you, eh? Don't you know you're bruising the fundament of an anointed king? Lenti! Non vadi così presto! Hey, Johnny Gulp, are you waking yet? Or are you sleeping?
Much higher, fellow. I didn't know you were taking us mountaineering.
See, a master. From this crest, sois Eccolo, the Via Emilia, where it comes to Rome. Eccolo anche la carrozza.
Telescope.
Sì, signor.
Most refreshing exercise. But your energy for all this somewhat surprises me, Sir Horace Mann. Can't Baron Douglas be so much more than he seems to justify such calamities and glories? Does he come to Rome to kiss the feet of Peter, perhaps?
If he does, then we must dissuade him from that filthy Catholic practice, Ralph.
Yet it would seem to be a question of whether or not he first manages to reach the chair of Peter. He certainly approaches the apostolic see with a startling disregard for his personal safety. The Baron Douglas has been thrown from his carriage. Miseria. He should have understood that while we in the Papal States have preserved intact the one true faith, we have as yet raised up no John McAdam to do the same for the roads. Thus is human subterfuge brought at length to base earth, duplicity to dust. Sic trans.
Oh. Oh, excuse, Majesty, excuse.
Don't leave it be, confound you. You're making it worse, poxy physician.
Oh, Cardinale.
Your Majesty.
Henry. Damn your eyes, man. Is it yourself?
Most noble lord, what has occurred? I was not told you had arrived. I was at prayer.
Then you didn't pray hard enough. Some idiot on high got the message all wrong. It's absurd. Rushed to Rome by some lunatic clothiers, hurled like a sack out of the window, not even as my royal self, but as one Baron Douglas.
Your Majesty is not hurt.
You should see the coachman.
And you were wearing a false nose, I'm informed.
Well, you said in your letters, take every precaution against detection, so I did.
But a false nose,
secure
brother.
Disguise gives a man... God above, must I endure the tortures of this heating a moment longer? If he's the best you can do in the way of a surgeon, brother, send me your butcher boy.
Si, perdone. Vada immediatamente.
Eminenza, per favore.
Pronto, vada.
Si, pronto, scusi.
A vile journey by the Lord who's supposed to love Stuarts. A voyage in and out of hell itself. Doubt and discomfort all the way. And still a thirst with the size of St. James's Palace.
Okay.
Doubt. Aye, crawling, burrowing doubt. Every inch of the road asking myself what I was doing, why the hell I was doing it, why have they brought me to Rome, brother? What is it you hope to change in our situation? I'm the joke of all Europe these days, you must know. A gypsy and a jest, living on whoever provides for him and seeing if we suffer with his rare ways and outlandish pretensions. Do you see any bright future through any of that?
Eccolo, the corrective of thirst. More wine. Allow me to pour it.
Ah, great stuff.
But, alas,
It is also an evil vintage, Majesty, simply as much as my own poor vines will produce from their impoverished soil. I will not outrage your palate with it. Allora, it is gone. Ah!
What? You poured me wine and then threw it away?
Yes.
Why, for God's sake? Lord save us. We just dropped 15 years, didn't we? We never heard the slither as they slipped away. It's the evils of drink again. Charles's dreadful intemperance and Henry's enduring efforts to reform him.
Majesty, your character must be seen to be above reproach. This is now most important. I have been to much labor to spread it abroad that you are a changed man. The dissolute youth Rome once knew is no more. In his place...
Hey, you sanctimonious old cow, Henry, tell the truth. If there's one thing you still enjoy more than any other, it's the pike end up the rear for sinful old Charlie, whenever the opportunity offers.
Non bisogna ripetere quali opinioni, bisogna...
Aye, and you've still got that nasty habit of dropping into Dago any time something's said that doesn't suit your fancy, too. By Mary and all murdered Scots, it's a wonder you don't strangle of your ambiguities, man. You're more foreign than British, and you always will be.
How dare you say this? I am English. An Englishman born and bred.
You never set foot in the bastard place.
And you? Once. Once only in all your whole life. And then for scarce more than half a year of fighting, after which...
That'll do. We won't talk of that. Not of the 45. Never of the 45. Ah. You're a pious fraud. You know your difficulty. You'd love to despise me as you believe I deserve to be despised. But like our royal father before you, you can't quite work up the irreligion to do so.
Brother!
Well, it's true enough. His saintly majesty James III of Britain, Ireland and France turned conscientious handstands, trying to think the best of the bonny prince, particularly after his grand campaign was done with, and there was reason to hope higher things of him. Why do you think I left the Moody Palace in Rome all those years ago, if it wasn't because I couldn't stand being blasted for giving any more? All that distress over Charlie's banquets and Charlie's lasses.
Allora, your life was a scandal in those days, brother. Our father was a most proper man and a Catholic monarch.
I need no reminding of that.
How could he support your dissipation, your liaisons, with the Princess de Talmont, for instance? Oh. Open, unashamed, and ending in blows in the street.
Aye, she was powerfully built, a princess. A man had to defend himself.
And then the Jezebel Walkinshaw.
Clementina. Odd you should mention her, Henry. I don't know why, but my mind's been running on Clementina again of late. There's a sense in which she was the best of all the women I ever had, maybe. A natural-born whore, you ken?
D'accordo.
But warm and a deep source of comfort when she wasn't spitting like a vixen or too drunk to pass a comment one way or the other. Auntie Clementina.
Did you know her daughter was in Rome recently?
You mean young Charlotte?
The same.
Lord above, what for?
In search of money. I saw to it this was provided. They were in grave need.
Charlotte? My offspring? Ah, if we'd been in our kingdom as we had a right to be, I'd have seen to her properly. But my life has never been as it had a right to be. Slender resources always, mere expectation.
Carluccio, please. All these is in the past. Let us speak of the present.
I am speaking of it. What's today for the Stuarts that isn't better called yesterday?
Listen to me. The Pope is also a most proper man and a Catholic monarch. He recognized our father as James III of England because he could not deny his sanctity nor his devotion to the Catholic cause. He must recognize you too. He must call you Charles III.
Ha! So this is why you brought me back to Rome, then. To have boring old Clement XIII set some kind of seal of approval on me.
It is necessary. If the Pope first calls you king, then all the Catholic courts of Europe must follow suit.
God before us, you really believe it could be so? Will the Pope do as you want?
What choice has he? He is father of Christendom. He must proclaim the Christian truth. Yet we must act swiftly and secretly.
Now, why that?
Confound it, if I'm the damned king, why can't I shout it from the rooftops?
Later. We have enemies in Rome. Powerful enemies. We must secure the Pope's good opinion before they have opportunity to work against us.
I see, Cardinal Albani. I see. Then, from what you have been able to discover, there is a strong possibility that the Pope will recognize him as true king.
Pope Clement XIII is a pious man with an expressed belief in the principles of legitimacy, Sir Horace Mann. He may feel impelled to do all that lies in his power to increase the rank of the Baron Douglas.
It isn't the Baron Douglas anymore, if you'd like to know, but the Count of Albany.
The Count of Albany.
Albany, yes.
Formidable. Ma perché?
God knows. The usual papist compulsion to deceive and ensnare, no doubt. We're meant to think somebody quite other is attending the papal audience. Ah. Incidentally, in future, is it completely necessary for us to hold our conferences in the nave of the Basilica, do you think, with the thunder of Catholic rites all about?
But it is uplifting, transformed. It takes one's mind off the squalor of what one is doing. And in Roma, we say the only place to hold a truly private conversation is in public.
One might suffocate of the incense. It is not, of course, a matter of immense importance to my government. If the Pope does recognize him as true king, you understand?
Of course not. We conspire for the pure joy of conspiracy.
It would simply be embarrassing at the present time. Relations with France and Spain are not yet so good that they could stand the strain of another dispute about the true succession.
I am told the Pope would, in fact, prefer it if the Catholic courts of Europe were to make the recognition. And he was merely called upon to confirm it.
Indeed. Who tells you that?
My sources are impeccable and inscrutable, Sir Horace Mann. And if Clement XIII has a marked characteristic, it is that he often declines to act when he may just as effectively be acted upon.
Then what you mean is, if the Pope could find a reason not to call the Count of Albany king, he would take advantage of it?
Do you know of such a reason, Sir Horace Mann? It could be conveyed to the Pope with remarkable expedition, if so. Inscrutable sources are also impetuous sources. And it would be most unfortunate if Cardinal Henry Stuart were ever to be recognized as the brother of a king. Simple Romans would never be able to conspire against him again. But the sublime music, does it not purify the mind and heart?
The decent restraint of an English parish loft is purgative enough for me, sir. I'm going outside.
Wait, how can you? It is magnificent.
Damn caterwauling.
Clement XIII, by the grace of God, Bishop of Rome, Patriarch of the West, Pope of the Universal Church, health and apostolic benediction.
Your Holiness.
Holiness,
Deus vos benedicat. We greet our dearly beloved brother Henry, Bishop and Cardinal. We welcome to the See of Peter the esteemed...
Count of Albany.
Count of Albany. You are refreshed after your long and arduous journey to our domain, a most noble count?
Quite, I thank your Holiness. I refreshed.
We are glad to hear it. And your nose is restored to its God-given proportions?
My nose?
We heard of certain inexactitudes which seem to have overtaken you in relation to your nose. But doubtless we were misinformed. We so often are. You will be seated, dear brother Henry.
Your Holiness is most kind.
And you, Count of Albany.
Right.
But a moment. Is it fitting, do you think, that a mere count should also sit in the presence of those so obviously his superiors in rank?
Why?
Your Holiness, I thank you most profoundly for the privilege of this audience. Let me assure you at once, the Count of Albany is in fact a greater than he seems.
A greater? Yet how great is that, Brother Henry? You will take a wine?
No, that's a most civil suggestion on the part of your holiness. A small...
Yes, thank you, no. The Count and I will require nothing at the moment.
But surely if his holiness insists...
No.
Well, you're the churchman. I'm just the poor devil in the pew. I call it bad manners.
The manners? Ah, if only all problems that came before the Pope could be those of manners, Count of Albany. But unhappily, he lives in a far more complex world. Shall I, the Pope, suppress the society of Jesus, for instance, as the courts of Portugal and France now demand of him? Or shall he resist such secular attempts to teach him his spiritual business? Again, shall the Pope make adequate provision for his children in the distant new world of Canada? Or shall he abandon them?
Canada?
Even so.
What's Canada got to do with the price of fish? It's the last place God made.
Brother!
I fear not. The last place, rather, that the victorious British have captured in their wars against the French. Can you be ignorant of these domestic facts, Count of Albany? Large numbers of French Catholics have rudely become British subjects. It is alarming. If they are not to be deprived of their faith as well as their nationality, the Pope must be most circumspect in his dealings with the Duke of Hanover, whom some, as we understand, call King George the Third of England.
Now, wait on. By God, I see the drift of this. Are you...
Holiness, with respect, whatever the situation in Canada, it surely makes no difference to our business here today. We are concerned with absolutes, certitude and error, the true king and the false.
True king, false king. Oh, these are provocative terms, Brother Henry. How is a true king to be recognized? By his bearing? By his character? His nose?
Lord Stiffenus, that nose.
Most importantly, by his faith.
His faith? Ah. Eccellente. The Pope concurs. Therefore, Count of Albany, allow me to address to you a question. Is it true that for a brief period some 10 years ago you became a Protestant?
Oh, no.
No. This is outrageous.
Which is to say true, brother?
No. My meaning is the entire matter has been misrepresented. Sanctus et ordus et omnes sancti Britannici. Oh, who made it known again?
Occasionally, it seems the Pope need not be misinformed. Senior Count, you will speak, perhaps?
Nobody should speak of this. It was a sad error, a great foolishness which...
Count of Albany, does it seem to you that he could ever be recognized by the Pope as a Catholic king who knowingly and willingly has lain with the harlot of Protestantism? Sir?
Oh, I'll say this much. I don't know why the hell I'm here. I don't know why I consented to the whole daft charade. It's more than a man should have to endure to be called a poxy papist in London and a filthy Protestant in Rome.
Carluccio!
Well, it's what it's come down to at length, Henry. All that years ago was nothing. A dismal failure. My conversion to Protestantism wasn't believed in for a second. But what I did for the Stuart cause and our people, to try and find a way back into their hearts and a secure road back to our throne.
He whom we recognized as James the Third of England was once offered the crown of Scotland, but refused it because the condition was that he should forswear his Catholic faith.
Well, we can't all be born with blasted holy water in our veins.
Oh, impossibly.
Too, Henry. Yes, just as bad as our sainted father. God scramble your masses.
How dare you, Charles? Now you go too far.
Only as far as the truth demands, brother. For do you know the worst blow that was ever struck against our cause? Without question, the worst blow?
Count of Albany.
It was you going into the church. God rot you.
And then on top of that, taking the damn cardinal's hat.
This is unbelievable.
No, a bitter fact. For what neither you nor our blessed father, but only sinful old Charlie ever realized, was that the people of Britain love us, Stuarts. Love us. But what they can't stand is damn poxy papists.
Ah. Alora, the audience would seem to be at an end. We can see no purpose in discussing these questions further, beloved brother.
Holiness, by your leave.
Dominus ab omni malo defendat, Count of Albany.
Carluccio. How
could
you?
Oh, Lord, it was the truth, wasn't it? You never faced up to things as they really are, Henry. But I've had to.
No, Charles, you are wrong. Our people both love us and yearn for their lost faith.
That's nonsense. I knew I was daft to come back to Rome.
No. There will be other occasions, brother. Other opportunities. An enemy has betrayed us today. But still we will regain our throne. In spite of all obstacles, we will never give in.
Sir Horace Mann in Rome to my lords of Westminster, March the 1st, 1769. Your lordships will have heard from intelligences other than these of the recent death of the Pope Clement the 13th, who was taken by a flux whilst trying finally to make up his mind whether or not to oblige the insistent monarchs of Europe and suppress the Jesuit order. One papist less. Rome accords him magnificent obsequies, but being Rome is naturally more interested in his successor than in the comfort of his departed spirit. One cardinal who is surely not papabile, as they say here, is Henry Stuart, so-called Cardinal Duke of York. At the moment, it may beguile your lordships to know, he has matters of even greater moment on his mind.
The Principessa Isabella of Mansfeld. There, Carluccio. Here, in this miniature look, a comely young woman, would you not say?
Comely, oh. Ah, look at those eyes. They pop like corks. And that chin. Could a man live across the bed from a chin like that the rest of his days? I wouldn't have left out the beard.
Time is getting on, brother. The years go by and we grow older. If you are to raise up an heir, it must be soon.
An heir, oh, an heir. Will you cease talking to me about an heir? Produce one yourself if you're so fixed on the notion of an heir.
Buster, you are a king. You must give your people a son. Also, it is my conviction that Cardinal Garganelli will be elected pope. He has said he will look kindly on the claims of a monarch who is a settled family man. Even though he is of the anti-Jesuit faction, I have offered him my vote.
And you think he's the kind to remember his promises after he's tailored his head to the tiara?
Cardinal Garganelli is as different from Clement the 13th as chaff is from cheese.
Chalk?
Cosa dice?
Chalk. Don't say different as chaff is from cheese, you say chalk. I don't notice you're getting any more English with the passing of years, Henry.
Very well, chalk. But chaff is also different from cheese. And Cardinal Garganelli is a man of great honor who has always been sympathetic towards our cause.
So we've a chance again, perhaps. A chance of our kingdom. But I must find a queen. Oh. Who am I supposed to marry, Henry? Who'd marry me? There's the real trouble, maybe. My youth's gone. I'm running too fat. And a grand old toffer.
Momento. Who is this?
Who?
This one. Why, the portrait is quite charming. Bella bellissima. And only 19 years old.
Where are the details?
Who is it you're talking about?
Louise Maximilian, eldest daughter of the Princess of Stolberg and the late Gustavus Adolphus of Stolberg-Gern, Prince of the Holy Roman Empire, Knight of the Palatine Order of St. Hubert.
And descended on my mother's side from the Royal House of Scotland through Lady Charlotte Bruce, daughter of the Earl of Elgin and Aylesbury. So you see, my Lord Cardinal, if you will forgive the impertinence, I am almost as British as you are.
Excellente! Mirabile! Oh, my dear Louise Maximilien, you exceed all expectations.
Aye, doesn't she? The wide set of the eyes, Henry, the turn of the lips.
The artist who painted your portrait should be put to making bricks.
Bricks, do you hear?
Oh, my lord.
Eh, vero, indeed. He has not remotely done you justice.
Please, sir, too much flattery will turn a simple girl's head. I am already near overwhelmed by the sheer unlikelihood of events. Astonishingly, I am to marry a king.
Say, rather, a king favor of the gods is to marry you. Carluccio, we must stage a splendid ceremony.
We'll make the Pope's coronation look like the day after Hogmanay. Oh, we'll show these damned Dagos that the King of England's a sight more royal than they gave him credit for.
Meantime, dear child, sweet Louise, welcome to the House of Stuart. You will be its ornament, its chiefest joy. God has smiled on us. In your youth, we are made young again. In your beauty, we reaffirm our hope. I salute you as sister.
And I salute you as brother, sir.
Louise Maximilian, I name you, dear one, wife, Queen of England.
Suppose, Cardinal Albani, has Charles Stuart paid good money to them to line the streets and pick up the largesse he so graciously scattered?
In Rome, it is never necessary to descend to such subterfuges, Sir Horace Mann. Our people will cheer the very suggestion of a carriage and weep with the suspicion of a cortege.
Well, it'll do him no good anyway. A pretty young wife, of course, yes, that's a surprising advantage, I suppose, but the world will not be deceived.
Nor the Pope, Sir Horace Mann. Nor the Pope.
Your pardon, Eminence.
My information is that a week ago, the Cardinal Henry Stuart and his brother sent intelligences of the forthcoming nuptials to His Holiness, stating that after their exchange of vows, the King and Queen of England would be happy to attend on him. His Holiness replied, no such personage could possibly be in Rome.
Ah! It was thought that the policy of Clement XIV in relation to the Stuarts might be rather different from that of his predecessor. You are telling me now that isn't so, then?
Why, as to Clement XIV, it is perhaps not possible to predict anything with certainty.
And what do you mean by that?
He is occasionally distrait on the matter of Jesuits.
You mean?
Per favore, there is a certain eccentricity, nothing more. Lack of complete clarity at times. One who did not know him might not notice anything at all.
Yes, all that dressing up in cloth of gold and being waved at by ostrich fans and carted around in a litter is bound to go to a man's head eventually.
The trouble with Protestantism is that it is grey, dull. It lacks color.
Ah, put them side by side. You would be hard put to tell a rainbow from stripes in the last stages of decay, Eminence. Now, we must make plans
in case of another move on the part of Cardinal Stuart to try and secure the ear of the Pope.
Ah, impossibile! Malo azzardo!
Yes, my lord and uncle. Your bastard niece, Charlotte Stuart, in Rome once more.
How dare you do this? Our arrangement was that you should never come to Rome again. Did anybody see you arrive?
No. I came most secretly.
I have kept my part of the bargain. Having established a just pension for you and your mother, I instructed bankers in Paris accordingly, and ever since have seen to it without fail.
Yes, my lord, I am grateful to you for that. But I have come because there has been a change in my condition.
This is unimportant. The king, your father, is respectably married now. Soon he is to be presented to the Pope. It is essential
that... The change in my condition, uncle, is that my mother is dead.
Prego?
Yes, my mother is dead. The Jezebel Walkinshaw has gone to her last assignation with the Lord on high. He was accustomed in his earthly days to keep the company of publicans and sinners. Perhaps you will remember that now.
Requiem aeternam dona ea, Domine. My child, I am most sorry to hear this. Forgive me. Masses will be said for her as though for one of the family. All will be done that rightly should be done.
I ask no favors, my lord. In fact, I have to point out to you that the pension you pay is now rather more than is just. You will perhaps wish to alter it accordingly?
You have come to Rome to talk about things like this?
No. No, of course not. The truth is, I am alone in the world now, my lord. I think it is time I saw my father.
No. No. Not now. It is quite out of the question.
Oh, my father's wife would be unwilling to receive me, you mean?
It is nothing to do with the queen.
Queen? Well, a younger woman than me and unproclaimed, but still referred to as the queen.
Per piacere. Soon the Pope will receive your father and recognize him as king. My information leads me to believe this is now completely certain. Therefore, you must leave Rome.
Yet why did the queen marry the king, my father, I wonder, my lord?
What is this?
Why? Why, a girl of 19, willing to submit to the fumblings and gropings of an aging, lecherous drunkard?
Dio mio! Is this how you speak of marriage, the sacrament instituted of God?
Did you know that until my father appeared to rescue her from it, Louise Maximilienne had been placed by her mother as a canoness in the chapter of St. Wandre at Mons, and was terrified that she would eventually be forced to take the vows of religion?
By church law, no one can be forced to take the vows of religion. And it is hardly unusual for young girls to reside in convents through their tender years.
No, my lord, it wasn't quite like that. Because her father had left little money, Louise Maximilienne was a nun as sure as fate, unless something better could be arranged. So she was willing to grasp at straws, even marriage to a dispossessed and degraded king.
This is nonsense. The king could have had a dozen other brides, every court in Europe.
But with a wealthy cardinal for a brother, of course. And the prospect of life in sunny Rome rather than foggy France.
How dare you, if you think... Oh, alas, what shall I say to you? If you knew my dear sister Louise, you could not say the things of her that you do. What do you wish me to believe? That this pure child, this angel who has altered all our lives, entrapped the king, your father, into marriage... simply to escape from a convent she might have walked out of at any time?
Yes. Yes, it's a strange thing. But I've observed before today that the more apparently intelligent the man, the more easily he falls victim to a pretty face and a winsome smile. I give you fair warning, my lord. That wife of my father's is a... What? Why? What is that sound?
Sound? Kinswoman?
We might be in Venice, thrusting her way along some reeking canal. Have you dispensed with the divine office in your cathedral, my lord, and brought in troubadours?
Oh, the music. Ah, yes, that is the queen.
Oh, the queen is a musician.
Or one of her friends. Whilst she and the king still reside in my palace, you know, she likes to entertain in the afternoon.
Ah.
Yes. But you must go now. I cannot permit you to stay a moment longer.
Will you let me see the king, my father?
No, not at this time. You must obey me. Perhaps later, when he is recognized, when he is a king in truth.
Charmant. Yes, quite charming, Signor Alfieri. You have a delicate touch.
Music is but my hobby, sweet lady, sweet majesty. By profession, as you know, I am a poet. Allora, allow me now to read to you a poem I have written.
Oh, I'm not sure that would be very wise, sir.
It is a fine poem.
No doubt. But would you call it quite fitting under the circumstances?
It is a poem addressed to you.
Precisely. You seem to forget I am a married woman, sir, and a queen. Already I think I am quite indiscreet enough for one day.
Indiscreet? But in what way, lady?
Why, in entertaining you here alone, Signor Alfieri.
Ah.
Others were invited this afternoon, you know. Oh, yes. But at the last minute, unhappily sent word they could not come.
At the last minute.
Unhappily. Mm. So here I am alone with a personable young man who is also a gifted poet.
Oh.
It is surely an invidious situation. There are those who could misunderstand it.
Does the king, your husband, misunderstand it, lady?
The king, my husband?
See?
Oh, we all have our cross to bear, Signor Alfieri.
Mm.
The important thing, I believe, is not to complain. Those who complain miss the compensations of their lot. Even on the darkest day, a ray of sun may break through at any moment. Isn't it so?
I am called Vittorio. Lady, shall I tell you the theme of my poem?
Please, no. It is better we dismiss such matters from our minds.
But it is a poem of the coming of spring to a barren land.
I forbid it. I do not wish to...
Spring is young and radiant, and without knowledge of the world, she must transform. She sees the hoar frost and gathers it to her soft, young bosom. But to her alarm and surprise, the frost dies at her loving touch, melting away. So spring understands that her love may be wasted. But what has she to give if not love? So where shall she turn, poor, lonely spring?
You put questions, Signor Vittorio. You do not answer them.
It is not my business to give answers. I am only a poet. Spring herself must tell me what to write next.
Well, she's certainly a bit of a silly in spring. Out there in the cold, so lightly clad. Of course, she aspires to a kingdom which is no doubt worth a little frostbite. Yet, she could catch her death, couldn't she, Vittorio? Do you know, sooner or later, I feel, we may have to do something about spring. For our own good.
What today, Cardinal Albani? You say the Pope means to receive Charles Stuart today?
This is my information. See, Sir Horace, ma'am.
But the audience was not listed for another month, surely.
The Pope is eccentric. I have tried to explain. He has brought it forward.
And you also say you can't be sure he won't turn round and recognize Charles Stuart as true king.
He is eccentric.
Yes, well, naturally the whole thing is still a matter of little real importance to my government. But there must be something we can do to influence the Pope's mind. The marriage, Charles Stuart's marriage. I have heard rumors. Is there no scandal that might be used to harm him?
There is no heir as yet, which is thought-provoking. But in Rome, rumors and pasture are the staple diet.
For myself, I don't see how an old goat like that could keep such a spry young filly happy at her death.
Alora, what a remark from a devout Protestant.
Oh, we heretics understand the facts of life, Eminence. Don't you worry about that. You Catholics indulge in them more, no doubt, but we understand them. Well, if not the marriage, then what about the drinking? By all accounts, that's getting no better.
Ah, Carruccio, dearest sister, you have come at last. I feared you'd be late.
You should be grateful we're here at all, noble brother. The king, my husband, was very nearly indisposed and unable to venture abroad this afternoon.
What? Ah, Carruccio, no. You haven't been drinking today.
Appointment, see the Pope. 3 o'clock, appointment.
Centura, Centura, he is drunk. Dearest sister, why did you not keep him from this?
Keep him from it? How am I supposed to do that? Am I Hercules to take the world from the shoulders of Atlas? Am I Jason
to... It is too much. Why, Charles, why?
Appointment, 3 o'clock.
Can the audience be put off till another time, brother?
It is most inconvenient, but I will speak to the major domo and... Oh, dear me.
Clement 14th, by the grace of God, Bishop of Rome, Patriarch of the West, Pope of the Universal Church...
Pope, sir. So am I. All is arranged, brother.
Oh, aid us, O God, in this the hour of our need.
The Cardinal Henry Stuart, is it not? See?
Your Holiness.
And your companions. This is correct. A man, a woman, just as I was told. See? Eccellente.
Holiness, permit me to present...
But what man? My Lord Cardinal, what woman must we not ask these questions? As to the woman, perhaps no, it is not important, no danger there. But the man. Come now, answer the question. Who is that man?
Henry, is he talking about me?
Quiet, Carluccio. I am attempting to tell your Holiness. Allow me to present.
Is he a Jesuit?
Your Holiness, pardon.
A Jesuit? Say... You are a cardinal, sworn to serve me truly. Say if this man is a Jesuit.
Brother, there's something not right here today. You're wee Pope.
Please, Holy Father, there are no Jesuits here.
You say that with great confidence. But they are everywhere in disguise, pretending to be other than they are.
Holiness.
Si, è vero. I have proof of it. They do not forgive the Pope, and they wish to be revenged on him.
Yes, I see where he's wrong now. He takes me for just another of his poxy black crows. I'm Charles Stuart, you can, Holiness, rightful King of Britain, Ireland.
Sister, can you not silence your husband?
Should I strike him with a holy water bucket, my
lord? He is to be recognized as such. Now, let's get down to it at long last, shall we? I merely...
Yet was not the Pope right to suppress that evil order, sir?
He ought to be recognized as such. Rightful king.
The Jesuits, I say. Was he not right?
The whole church supports your holiness.
Why does the church not come to his aid? When he may be murdered by his enemies, poisoned, the Pope cannot sleep, he dare not eat. Oh, who will deliver him from these evil, murderous Jesuits?
Holiness, I am your friend. I have always been your friend. You know this to be true. Now, this is my brother, the King of Britain, Ireland, and France. Will you call him so? Yes, Carluccio. Yes, speak now.
Holiness, I bow to your spiritual authority. I humbly crave your apostolic blessing.
See, it is so. I will call him...
Ah.
Traitor! Judas! Yeah,
what the hell?
Do you take me for a fool? Do you think I cannot see what lies behind that innocent face, those bland eyes? A Jesuit?
Holiness, no!
Everywhere, all around me. Nowhere can the Pope hide. No corner in which he's safe.
Pick up your chair, hear
God
me.
God will have the last word. Jesuits, remember that. Be careful. God remains to the Pope when all men betray him.
Oh. Well, I know I'm drunk, brother, but what about him? He's been at the bottle or I'm a Lutheran.
And you are not a king, Charles. The Pope has not proclaimed you as such.
Is it possible? Could it happen in this manner? The king drunk and the Pope mad.
He has not proclaimed you a king. And that means I am not a queen.
It is more than a dutiful Christian should have to bear. How have I offended? What have I done that such confusion should be visited on me?
The only reason I ever married you was because you promised I would one day be a queen.
Hey, Johnny Cole, were you
what? Ah, silencio! What failure am I being punished for? What betrayal?
Or haste to get
up. Well, when a queen?
The drums do be.
How soon?
Basta!
Hey, Johnny Cope, in the morning. And here's to St. Andrew, patron of all Scots, on the day set aside for his honour. Much as he does for the rightful kings of Scotland.
No, lady, no, I'm serious. The Duke of Grimaldi has offered his theatre for the performance of my verse drama, and you shall be the leading player.
Oh, Vittorio, please.
Certe, you shall speak my lines on your lips. They will become gems of verse.
And even less about poxy dago poets.
Gems of verse, indeed. Your compliments are too fulsome, sir. Whatever else I may be, I'm certainly no actor. Why, husband, you neglect our guests. Come, will you lead the dance?
Lead the dance? Why should I do that, madam?
Our majesty, we are desolate without you. Revive us every faint of melancholia.
Yes. Why should I lead the dance, Signor Alfieri? That's all I want to know. Isn't it what my wife is best at?
Your pardon, Majesty?
Oh, my wife and you together? Aye, that's closer to the truth. A merry dance you've been leading me this 6 months past, thinking apparently I was too stupid or uncaring to notice.
Dear me, Vittorio, the strain of these banquets becomes too much for my husband as he grows older, I fear. He's overtired again.
Overtired, be damned! Say what you mean if you want to insult me, woman. I'm in my caps, enough of speaking a sober man's mind. And you're a filthy little slut and adulteress.
Oh.
Majesty, by your leave.
Well, do you deny it?
How dare you? I will not be spoken to like that.
I'll put it more accommodating for you then. If you should bear me a child, madam, that child awaited ever since the unhappy day we got married. Would I have any certainty it was mine, eh?
You speak of a child awaited ever since the unhappy day we got married. There might have been a dozen such children for all I know.
Ooh.
A score! But all of them, without exception, were conscientiously drowned, it seems to me, beforehand in wine.
You bitch!
Majesty, no, you must not!
Liar! By God, boy, do you want her? Chicker, the cheap little doxy.
I married you because you promised one day I should be a queen. But I'm not a queen. I'll never be.
Shut your mouth.
You'll never be a king. Never. They don't want you. You drunken pig. No, don't you realize that? They despise you.
More lies.
Majesty, I beg of you.
No poet, you shan't ever before. I flailed the skin from her back for a filthy, impertinent lie. She did not speak to me as she did.
Eota! Eota, the king has gone mad! This is the fault of mine! I'm innocent, Eota! Eota!
Hey, come is that, Jay? So late at night. I do not... Well, open the door, quickly!
in God's name?
Help me. Oh, my Lord, help me.
Your face, you have been hurt.
Please, no one else I can turn to. No one in all Rome. He's mad.
Be calm. You are safe here, quite safe. Now, what's happened? Tell me.
My husband, he beat me as though I were a slave.
Carluccio? Carluccio did this?
Yes.
You're mistaken.
No, my lord, no. We were entertaining friends, a banquet for the feast of St. Andrew, and then, for no reason, he turned on me.
For no reason?
None.
He had been drinking again.
You know, he never stopped drinking these days.
Santa Maria.
Yes, I've always tried to be a good wife to him, my lord. Loyal and true. You know that. You can testify to it.
He's bruised you, cut you. Oh, this is monstrous, monstrous.
You won't send me back to him, my lord. Not tonight.
Of course not.
Not ever. I must have my own establishment away from him.
Allora, I have promised you my protection, and you shall have it.
He said I should be a queen. He said it is a condition of our marriage, but... Oh, no.
Is it the king?
No.
Does he know you came here?
He knows I have no other friend in Rome. Oh, my lord.
Do not be afraid. Si, Porteneo. Aperte, aperte.
Here? So? Did the slut come here? It crossed my mind. I see she did. And thank you, brother, for your reuniting husband and wife.
No,
Asperti! You must not touch her.
What's this?
Don't touch her. Not when you are drunk. Drink. In spite of all my efforts to restore you to your lost kingdom down the years, all of my tireless work, time and again has been your wretched fondness for drink that has come between you and the acknowledgement of your subjects.
What? Now what in the world?
Yes, Charles. This is the truth at last, and you must realize it. Once, long ago, you told me that it was because my father and I had remained true to our faith that we Stuarts are no longer a race of kings. But that is not so. The English people are not so small-minded. Rather, they respect their rightful sovereign. But they will not, cannot have as king one who is loose, intemperate, and the laughing stock of Europe. They cannot give their loyalty to a drunken buffoon.
Well, that's straightforward anyway. Grand, loyal address. I'll thank you then to cease your efforts and tireless work on my behalf. Doubtless I'd be restored to my lost kingdom just as quick without them.
Oh, Carluccio.
I've had enough. Come, slut.
I won't go.
I mean to punish you for your misdeeds. Now you'll do as I say.
No, she is under my protection while she remains in this house, brother. If she does not wish to go, she will not.
Henry, brother. If you will be fought, you can. It's that you go down like a tin soldier before the weakest blast from that monstrous regiment.
Oh, that I know, though.
Well, what she told you about tonight, for the Lord's sake. Did she happen to mention her fine poet in passing?
What poet? I know nothing of any poet.
You damn lying slut.
I've been as loyal and true to you as a woman ever could be. You know
down,
that.
Bob, let me but get you.
Don't you take your hand off her.
I am a queen and you treat me like a slave. Drunkard.
Will you come?
Coward.
Leave her, Charles. I warn you. Charles.
But you hit me, Henry. You hit the king.
Carluccio, you are drunk. I had no choice. Forgive me.
Then you support her against me, you mean? You take her in and turn me out. But Henry, if I walk out that door tonight without her, I may never come through it again. The king. The drunken buffoon of a king. yet he will try and behave with a king's dignity, since it's what heaven made him. You've gone too far, Henry. I can you see it. I may forgive you for this. God never will.
I pray not, brother. I pray God will yet turn all things unto good. In spite of us, Stuart, if not because of us. Someday.
Then you will see him again, Uncle. You will?
Kinswoman.
It's been 5 years now.
5 years. So much.
And he doesn't drink as he used, I assure you. He's calmer and more reflective. Also, no longer in good health.
Charlotte Stuart. To think, then, that it is you, whom I once rejected as a cause of dissension, who strives in this latter day to bring about a revived unity and sense of purpose to our unhappy family. You are a true Stuart. And you are right about Louise Maximilian, of course. Poor Troppo, I was a great fool there. She and Alfieri carried on their affair quite openly, you know. After I'd formally placed her under my protection and provided her with a palazzo of her own. See? Strange, I never had a notion of her deceits for so long. As Carluccio and you both tried to tell me, I am easily taken in by a pretty face.
Well, it's done with now. Louise Maximilian is in Germany and adequately provided for. However, there is no heir to my father's rights and titles.
He has recognized you as his daughter, but perhaps you will marry in time.
No legal heir. Surely you understand, Uncle. I am the king's bastard. And even in the unlikely event that I should bear children, my...
Oh. Charlotte! Right, child, what is it?
It's nothing. Nothing. I'm all right.
But your color has gone. No. Are you...
I'm all right. It's just a recurring pain I suffer from, for some reason or other. It takes me unawares.
We will go inside. Perhaps it is turning too cool.
No. Uncle, there must be a reconciliation between you and my father. There must. Then a new determination to end once and for all the scandal of his exile and rejection. He is rightful king of England. The Pope must proclaim it, and the courts of Europe must accept it.
The Pope. I see. Then what you want is another approach to the Pope.
Soon, Uncle.
Carluccio.
Henry.
Oh, Carluccio. Oh, we were so foolish to quarrel.
Do you never grow a day older, Henry? Don't the years inflict a grey hair, a solitary line? Still elegant, damn your eyes.
But your leg. Here, let me...
I thank you, brother, but the king can still march under his own flag. He may be delayed, but he is not defeated.
Cardinal Henry Stuart has brought the pretender from Florence and intends setting him up in the Muti Palace once more. They have sought an audience of the Pope and had their request granted.
Pius beseeches, by the grace of God, Bishop of Rome, Patriarch of the West, Pope of the Universal...
Your Holiness.
Holiness.
Brother Cardinal and Bishop, arise. Count of Albany, we absolve you from the formality of bowing the knee in respect of your infirmity. Pray be seated.
I thank your Holiness.
Your Holiness,
You will no doubt be aware that for many years now, my royal brother and I have approached successive popes in the hope and belief that...
Your royal brother. Ah, yes. A moment, my lord. Since you have begun to speak in this way, perhaps it would be as well if, before you continue, you understand the precise nature of the relationship of the papacy to European royalty at the present time.
Your Holiness.
You will surely need no telling that just now the Pope has great trouble with anointed kings. France, for instance, eldest daughter of the Church. But alas, the king does nothing to restrain the ideas of the French philosophers who preach skepticism and seek to erode the truths of revelation. If, then, he must tread so warily with those who are of the household of the faith, how much more careful must the Pope not be with those who reject his office and laugh at his authority? There is a time of much distress coming for the Church, my Lord Cardinal, perhaps of persecution, and not only for the Church, for all the civilized world. We shall see violence, upheaval, the death of kings.
Holiness, how can you say such things?
These things will happen. They may even be worse than this. Except, of course, Britain.
Britain?
Yes, Count of Albany. The British people are either too sluggish or too proud to be carried along with the rush of events. I've never been able to make up my mind which. In any event, by a supreme irony, one of the best friends of Catholics in need of refuge and tolerance may become a Protestant king.
But with respect, Holiness, this has nothing to do with the case. The British people have been deprived of their true king. He sits here before you today, requiring only your blessing to be able to return to his native land and reclaim his throne.
No, Brother Henry. Not their true king. Attendant. I was anxious to provide this audience for you and your noble brother, my Lord Cardinal, for as of tomorrow, the reformed Papal Gazette is published. There is a section you ought to be shown first. You will see that the dignitary, previously referred to merely as Duca di Hanover, is now listed as King George III of Britain, Ireland, and France.
But, Holiness, this is impossible. It is a declaration of untruth, of error. It is betrayal.
No, my lord, not betrayal. Politics, perhaps. But it is the Holy Spirit who has told the Pope he must be practical before he is profound.
We are the true kings of England. We, Stuarts. No power on earth.
Oh, we are not concerned with power here. We are concerned with survival. The Church, God's Church, must live to flourish another day. Beyond strife and anarchy and terror. And when those firm supports of the Church, the French noble Catholics, are persecuted and dispossessed for their faith, will they not thank the Pope that he had the foresight not to alienate the Protestant tolerant King of England? I grieve for your pain, my lords, but the Pope has no choice. My Lord Cardinal, Count of Albany,
you hear, my lords of Westminster? The papacy has at long last recognized His Majesty George III as rightful King of Britain. Grace, sound Protestant grace, has finally moved the papal heart. And the Stuart cause is dead.
Carluccio. Carluccio, why do you not speak? The Pope has proclaimed the usurper king. He must not. We must fight again.
Fight, Henry?
Yes, Charles.
Fight? Yet we fought once, you ken. We fought as well as any good man might. I remember every blow of that fight for our crown and kingdom, Henry. Every thrust. The sea. Yes. The sea. Near Moidart we landed. The bonny prince and his seven men. Great waves to deter us. But the land knew its own. Glenfiddin, where we first raised our standard and watched it stream in the wind. And then our friends, the Camerons, MacDonalds. A mighty host. Where did they come from? Who drove them on? Flocking to our side wherever we marched. The army of the bonny prince pledged to his holy cause. Edinburgh, Carlisle, Preston, London, the goal, London and the crown again. Opposition falling away before us, the whole country rising. Manchester, such scenes of joy as were never seen. The people of Britain paying homage to their well-loved rulers. And then Derby. Why did we pause at Derby? Why did we not march on? The opinion of the world was with us. The usurper must have given place. Yet we stayed. And so the tide turned against us. A battle. A battle in which loyal men of mine fell in a hopeless stand. I'd not had to look at that before. Not on men dying for my sake. So, the retreat. Back to the border. To Scotland. Was I to blame? Back to Culloden. I can't tell you of Culloden. Nobody could. A defeat. Over 1,000 of my loyal Highlanders taken prisoner. But whereas to all I'd taken captive, I showed respect and clemency, that English butcher, the Duke of Cumberland. Disarmed. Massacred. Oh, God, am I to blame for that? Must I bear the responsibility of Culloden too? When soon I come to judgment, God, will you tell the bonny prince that the blood of those brave men is on his hands? There's our achievement, if you like, Henry. There's the rotten fruit of a lifetime of exile and drunkenness and futile hope for the House of Stuart. The death of the innocent. We gave life to none.
We killed those who loved us. To hope in our name was murder. To believe in our cause was death.
Domine, Domine, exult.
Yes. He's dead.
Why didn't you call me?
He didn't wake again, Uncle. Father O'Kelly was with him. Better you prayed. He died well.
Like a king?
Like a king.
The king is dead.
Long live the king.
My child, we must make plans. It is especially important at this time. You must marry. I will recognize you publicly as the true heir. The Pope will see, in spite of his recent decision...
No. No, Uncle, I shall not marry. I think you know as well as I that this pain that torments me more and more would make that a pointless exercise.
Charlotte, child, you must not speak like this. I will not allow it.
I shall not be long following my father.
Per piacere. The best physicians in Rome will be summoned. I will see to it.
No, Uncle. You are the only heir. I salute King Henry the Ninth of Britain, Ireland, and France, true and only king, chosen of God. Your Majesty.
Henry the Ninth, King Henry the Ninth, Lord King of Kings, when will you restore your servants to their heritage, that your name may be glorified, O Lord, your truth fulfilled? De profundis clamavi a te, Domine. Domine exaudi orationem meam. Fiant ares tue intendentes in votum deprecationis meam.
That was Our Roman Cousins by Bruce Stewart, with Ian Cuthbertson as Charles Edward Stuart and Jack May as Henry, Cardinal Duke of York. Horace Mann was played by David March, Charlotte Stuart by Emily Richard, Cardinal Albani by Paul Serre, Pius VI by Lockwood West, Clement XIII by Michael Bilton, and Clement XIV by David Garth. Una Beeson played Louise Maximilienne, Peter Craze, Signor Vittorio Alfieri, and Steve Hodson, the messenger. The mandolinist was Les Thatcher, and Our Roman Cousins was directed by David Johnston.